Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottaglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And we'll go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. And we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinking Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Stink, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's my pleasure. Good to be with you guys.
Right off the bat, I don't know how much you saw of the Saints' Chargers, but again, man, to be bad and boring, Mark, you're going to get that things ain't good. Now, I know this week you're going to get Derek Carr. Most likely he'll be back against the Panthers. Look who you're playing here. But, you know, this team just lacks playmakers on both sides of the football, not only just on offense, but also on the defensive side. The football, you've gotten old there too. And, man, for a lot of Saints fans, their deal is, okay, we've seen this show before. If you're old enough, you've seen it before of some bad and boring football.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, like I thought at the beginning of the year, what they did the first two games of the year, the way they dismantled Dallas, like, it was exciting, right? I mean, you did have some playmakers on the offensive side of the football. Now you've had a bunch of injuries. Derek Carr went down. You've had receivers that have been injured. Offensive line, which is always the biggest thing to me. Like, when that group falls apart, then you're in deep trouble. So that was, you know, that was big. And the running game fell apart because the O-line fell apart. Some, like I said, some of the receivers, you know, got injured. And so ultimately, that was bad. And I think you're 100% right about the defense. It just looked old. Like, it just looked less explosive than it's looked. And it's tough, you know. I mean, how much of a shot in the arm, if Derek Carr does come back, is that for your team? Probably a big shot in the arm. Playing Carolina is probably the biggest shot in the arm because they're awful. They're just awful. But, you know, even a win there doesn't really do a whole lot for people, I don't think, because they know, you know, they know how bad Carolina. Carolina is not an NFL franchise as currently constructed, so they know how bad that, you know, that football team is.
Mark, you got to do a game this weekend. I was talking to Jen Hale about it before the game, and, you know, a lot of talk certainly about Tua and the concussions and how that would work out. But I told her, I'm just telling you, the Cardinals, man, they play hard. Now, sometimes, you know, the results aren't what you want. But when you got Kyler Murray and they got an explosive tight end who can move the chains, now all of a sudden Marvin Harrison Jr. and their defense is aggressive. They make mistakes, but they're aggressive. You see a young team, man, they give you everything they've got on every snap. And I'm impressed in what we've seen with the Cardinals this year.
Yeah, you'd have to be. You know, Kyler Murray really made some strides in that game. And where he struggles sometimes is he's so athletically gifted that when he gets off his first read, so if he's on progression and the first read is open and he hits the top of his drop, man, he's deadly accurate. But sometimes he gets so sped up in the pocket because he's such an athlete that his feet are faster than the receivers coming out of their breaks. So everything's timed up in the offense in the passing game. So when you hit the first step, you know, or the last step in your drop, that first guy should be open. If he's not, then you hitch up, and that hitch is timed up to the second progression. So that guy should be open. And so sometimes Kyler's so quick through that hitch up that he is already ahead of the receiver, and the receiver hasn't come out of his break yet. So then he hitches up one more time, and guess what? Well, now he's way ahead of the third receiver, where the third receiver is supposed to be. And so the whole thing gets screwed up, and then there's inaccurate throws. You're a little bit early, or you have to hold on to the ball, and then you become a little bit late. So I thought he was so much better in that regard in this particular game. We talked about it. Kyler and I have talked about it a couple of different times, but we talked about it a bunch Saturday afternoon. And I just saw a real progression in a much better understanding and a much better pace in the pocket. Then they developed some over routes where Marvin Harrison Jr. really excelled in, you know, the shallow cross, the low cross, the deep overs. you know, coming from one side of the field to the other side of the field, the intermediate route area. And I thought they really found a connection there where they've been struggling with some of their connections as of late, being on the same page, you know, one guy running a deep route, the other guy throwing it, you know, throwing a hitch or vice versa. So, like, I thought that was much better. They've always got James Conner, who is a, you know, is one of the best backs in the National Football League that nobody talks about. Yeah. So, but I think the thing you point out, and I think this is the thing that excites me, Jonathan Gannon, their head coach, man, he's very demanding, but those guys play their butts off. Yep. And I'm telling you, they're not a very talented defense. They just flat aren't. They've had a bunch of injuries, and they're not real talented on the front seven. But they fly around. Buda Baker has blatant disregard for his own well-being. So does Jalen Thompson. They fly around. Even like two weeks ago when they beat the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, Starling Thomas got beat on a cover three where he sits down and the inside receiver is supposed to split those two and stay deeper than the deepest. He gets beat, right, and he just turns and sprints, causes a fumble right on the one-yard line, and the ball goes through the end zone. They get the ball back. That's the difference between winning and losing is that kind of effort, and they made that effort, and they make it consistently.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark, I was talking to Bobby about this last night. And for whatever reason, guys have a niche against a certain team. They really play well, and maybe it's not quite as good against somebody else. And we see this with Kirk Cousins. Man, he's played unbelievable against the Saints at times. I don't care if he was with the then Washington Redskins or the Minnesota Vikings, Atlanta. And then he's doing the exact same thing against Tampa Bay. You look at those two games, the ball rarely touched the ground. He's been red hot, and yet we saw him the week before against Seattle. He was El Stinko. So as an NFL player, sort of describe that. Well, why are you so good maybe against one opponent, and it doesn't work with the other guy?
Yeah, because they play different styles, and they play different defenses, and they play different schemes and different personnel. I just go back to my own career. When I first came to the league with the Washington Redskins, the Philadelphia Eagles were the number one defense in football. Number one. And I mean, they had Clyde Simmons, and they had Reggie White, and Jerome Brown, and Mike Pitts, and Byron Evans, and Anthony Allen, and on and on and on it goes, man. They were loaded. Seth Joyner, and yet we always could beat them. The way we matched up with them, and our scheme just matched up with what they did defensively, and we would always beat them. But then we'd play the Giants, and we could never beat the Giants. Like, we just couldn't beat the Giants. But the Giants couldn't beat Philly. And so at the end of the day, everybody at the end of the day is 2-2. And so it was just a really interesting, it was an interesting kind of matchup for everybody in those days, in the late 80s, early 90s. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's just the way teams attack you and the personnel they have where you just really match up well against them. And, it's what's the old saying, that styles make fights?
Yep.
And that's what it comes down to in the NFL sometimes. Sometimes your scheme and your personnel just fits our eye. We just love it, and we excel against it.
Charlie?
Mark, looking at the Colts' decision today, I think it had surprised a lot of folks to bench Anthony Richardson for Joe Flacco, the backup, who has played for the Colts so far this year. We all remember what he did last year with Cleveland. But Mike and I were talking a little bit about this. I want to get your thoughts on it. It just feels like Flacco provides more of the steady hand at this point based off of what we've seen from Anthony Richardson, where you see the flashes, right? Like the 70-yard touchdown throws and, the beautiful deep balls that he can just uncork. But then the accuracy issues, I think he was 2 of 15 in the first half against Houston this past week. He finished like 10 of 32, I believe. Just the inconsistencies at quarterback play for a Colts team that's 4-4, that's trying to make the playoffs. Like, your thoughts on this move to go to Joe Flacco?
And you can't tap out.
Oh yeah, obviously his comments about being tired. I don't let that go by the wayside too, Mark. I also wanted to get your comments on that too.
Yeah, well, first off, I'd have to bench him just for being stupid enough to admit that he tapped out because he was tired. Like, you can't. That's your quarterback, dude. Stop it. I think he's completing like 44% of his passes on the season. I mean, yep. He's awful. And, like, this in a day and age where everything is created to be effective for the offense and all the quick passing game and all the bubble screens and everything else, and your 44% completion percentage, give me a break, dude. That is awful. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. And, people get enamored, and this happens in the draft all the time. People get enamored with, you hear it all the time, arm talent and arm strength. And, wow, that dude threw it 70 yards in the air. You know how many times you throw it 70 yards in the air in any given season? Twice. Two Hail Marys that you throw. That's it. Like, the average deep ball, a deep ball comes down. First off, a deep ball, a lot of people won't know this. A deep ball is thrown off a five-step drop with no hitch. So it's a five-step drop, maybe a roll of the shoulder, maybe one hitch. And you launch it, but it's basically no hitch. So it's going, like, it's out soon or quick. So those are the type of things where I'll upkick a five-step drop because I know I'm not going to give up a sack. Like, a five-step drop doesn't have a hitch. So if we get all go, I know I'm treating that like a run play. And so the ball is out super quick, and the ball comes down between 42 and 47 yards, somewhere in there. So all that arm talent stuff is stupid. Boring is what wins in the National Football League. Can I put the ball on my receivers? Can I communicate leverage, defensive leverage, with my ball placement? And can I have my guys catch the ball and then spin out and get me an extra 5 to 6 yards? And that's how you put drives together. That's how you keep drives. That's how you convert on third down. Those are the things that matter in the National Football League. Not 70-yard bombs. Nobody cares. And the other thing is if your only true asset's your ability to be an athlete and scramble around, you're going to get hurt. And Anthony Richards has been hurt a bunch. So, it just is, like, it doesn't surprise. It surprises me that it took this long. It was kind of like what was going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree.
The past, he looked like he was in a witness relocation program. I want to say, blink twice if you're in trouble. When he kept saying, no, Deshaun Watson gives us the best chance to win, because he was lying through his teeth. And then all of a sudden, Jameis comes out there and puts 300-plus yards up a passing over the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Jameis will give you a chance to catch the ball, if you're on the defensive side of the ball, and the Ravens dropped it. But the bottom line is, like, Deshaun Watson is awful, and so is Anthony Richardson at this point.
Mark, before we let you run, I wanted to get your thoughts on Bryce Young. I think that the expectation, they haven't officially announced if it's going to be Bryce or Andy for this upcoming matchup against the Saints in Carolina.
If you're the Saints, you hope it's Bryce.
You hope it is Bryce. I would agree. I think Bryce Young has like a historically bad win-loss record in the NFL. It's like 2-17 right now. And I know, obviously, the team that's around him is just awful. As you mentioned, it's not even an NFL team. But how he kind of looked against a really good Denver Broncos defense this past week, he had season highs in completion attempts, yards, touchdowns even. But if you look a little bit behind the numbers, a lot of that, Mark, as you know, came in kind of garbage time once the game was already out of reach.
Yeah, he is not an NFL quarterback. He's a super, super nice kid. It's like, I'm not saying that he'll never be, but one, he's tiny, which always scares me. And then two, he just doesn't have, he doesn't have an NFL skill set. So, I don't know what you want to do or what you want to say, but none of the stuff looks like NFL quality or NFL caliber player. That Andy Dalton by far gives you the best chance to win. And let's face it, in a season where you're already out of it and it's ugly, you owe it to your players to play the best players. Because if you don't, then you lose 100% of your credibility as a coach. And that, like, you can't have that. And the owner already circumvents everybody's authority anyhow. So if you're gonna maintain some dignity and and maintain a level of control of the organization, you can't play Bryce Young.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your insights and your time, buddy. Thank you so much. Where are you headed this weekend?
I'm in Tennessee. I got the Titans this weekend. Oh, so
man, you drew a little straw there.
Bad teams. There you go, Mark.
Mark, you drew a little straw on that one. Man.
Yeah, very short straw. Titans, New England.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it.
All righty. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.